You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, joined today by Connor Letourneau, the Warriors beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. We are here recapping the Warriors' 106-105 win over the Toronto Raptors on Sunday night. Got a couple beers here because it's Sunday night. Why not? You know, we're living our best lives.
It doesn't matter that it's Sunday night. We don't have days of the week, man. We're NBA beat writers.
I'm just now realizing I have told the listeners that I have been drinking during the podcast on two straight episodes. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think I have a problem.
Let's be honest. Every good podcast that you've ever heard in your life, Mr. or Mrs. Listener, is probably because the person was somewhat intoxicated they were recording it.
That's right. The Warriors were playing like they were somewhat intoxicated for much of that fourth quarter. After going up by as many as 17 points, the Raptors come back, outscore Golden State 33-19 in that fourth quarter. You know, give credit to a guy like Kyle Lowry, who is just a dog, right? Like, he just fights and claws, and he bothered Steph Curry all night. Steph was literally bloody by the fourth quarter. Because of what they were doing with Kyle Lowry. They had Fred VanVleet on him for a lot of the game. You had Pascal Siakam switched on to him. OG Anunoby switched on. I mean, just body after body after body flying at Steph Curry. Steph finishes with 11 points, 2 of 16 overall, 1 of 10 from three-point range, his worst shooting night of his career, Connor. But this was a night where they bucked kind of the formula that they needed this whole season. Prior to this game, they had not won a game where Steph failed to score 30 points. He scored one-third of 30 points, but they got a lot of contributions from other guys. Is this more of a trend? What was your takeaway from this game?
My takeaway was what you just said, which was that they won on a night that Steph had his worst shooting night of his career. I don't really care about the fact that the Raptors came all the way back and from a 17-point deficit. At the end of the day, when you're talking about the narrative of this season, the story arc of the season, that really doesn't matter. What matters is that this supporting cast is starting to step up and starting to, provide the necessary scoring load to take some pressure off of Steph. And honestly, they're doing it defensively too. Mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins specifically really stood out to me tonight. He played phenomenal defense on Pascal Siakam in that closing play, getting a good hand on a very quality shooter. And you go down the list. To me, Damian Lee is a guy who continues to show that he's clutch. You know, he hit the game-winning free throws a couple weeks after hitting a game-winning three-pointer in Chicago. And for this team to be a real threat in the West, they're going to need the Damian Lees and the Eric Pascals of the world. Yeah. To be a real factor. Yeah. Because as much as we know that this season depends on Steph playing at an MVP level, I don't think Steph playing at an MVP level guarantees them being relevant in the West. I think it just guarantees them not being absolutely atrocious.
No, that's well said, right? Is the formula going into this game was Steph scores 30-plus. You get contributions from Wiggins, 17 to 19 points. You get 12 to 15 from Pascal. You get, Draymond Green gets a bunch of assists and some rebounds. James Wiseman gets going early in the game. And that was really the formula, right? And the defense continues to improve. I don't think that this is what they want, obviously. You want Steph to be scoring 30 points if he can. And Toronto is uniquely suited to kind of stop Steph. Not only do they have the personnel, but they have the mentality. They have the confidence.
They
have the coaching. They came in here with a 2-6 record, but they walked in here like it was the 2019 finals, right? They walked in and said, we don't care. Box in one. Let's go. And Steph had a hard time with it, right? And maybe this is just kind of his kryptonite, I think. I don't know that this is going to be something that other teams can take a blueprint and copy. Right, I don't think that this is something that other teams can just copy. Like I said, Toronto is uniquely suited to do this.
Yeah, I agree. And Steph pretty much said as much post game. The Fred VanVleet factor is huge. Fred is as good of a chaser on Steph as anyone in the league.
I mean,
you saw how effective it was in the 2019 finals.
Worth $20 million.
I don't know. I actually really like Fred VanVleet. I don't think he should be your go-to scoring option, which is unfortunately the case right now for this team. but he is very good defensively, specifically on Steph. Steph, part of what makes someone a good defender on Steph is they understand how to move it instinctually, because Steph's game is so reading react based, and he's so hard to predict. And so you need to be able to move with Steph in a way that is extremely difficult defensively. I mean, it's harder to move defensively in that way than it is offensively. Mm-hmm. And so if you can stick with Steph, you have a certain basketball IQ that is incredibly impressive.
Well, I think also Nick Nurse's game plan was, I don't care what your assignment is. If Steph gets even a little open, fly at him. Like, just go right at him. There was a possession, I think it was in the second quarter, and I included it in my takeaways, where they were running the box in one. They set a high screen for Steph. Steph comes around the screen and just gets open for a second. And then you see, I think it was OG Anunoby, but I couldn't really make out who it was, come all the way from the other corner, ditching whoever it was out there. It might have been Kelly Oubre or whoever. It didn't matter. He just ditches that player and just sprints from 20 feet away to just get a hand in Steph's face. Steph takes the three-pointer and misses it, right? And after the game, Steph said that he missed a bunch of easy ones. I think that was true. I went back and watched almost every single one of his shots, and he really did miss a bunch that he could. He got open a lot more than I thought it seemed live in the game.
It seemed like he got a ton of open looks, but I didn't look back on every shot.
Yeah, it felt like in the game it was a lot of contested looks, and look, it was. But he did miss, I would say, a half dozen ones that he normally would have made. He missed
at least two layups that he should have made.
Right. And so I don't want to give Toronto too much credit, right? I mean, but when you have a night like this, it's always going to be both things. It's going to be Steph's shots just not going in. And look, they didn't let him get momentum, right? And so I guess you can credit that. You know, even if he was open, he just didn't have the rhythm necessary to, I guess, knock down those shots. I want to touch on something else, because you can kind of look at this as a good and a bad thing. On one hand, the Warriors won a game in which they really didn't have any business winning. But the Raptors second did come in. Second
straight game they've done that, by the way.
Second straight game. But the Raptors were 2-6. So, I don't know. The other thing is a negative. I want to get to that here in a minute. But first, I want to talk about betonline.ag. Connor, I don't know if you're a betting man, but now is the time to start, because we're in the middle of the NFL playoffs. The NBA season is in full swing. There's only one place that has you covered, one place that I trust, and that's betonline.ag. And you could sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So what that does is you put down your initial deposit, you get half of it back. So that's free money to win more money with. You can't beat that. And like I said, with the NFL playoffs in, and the 49ers aren't in it, the Raiders aren't in it, my Miami Dolphins aren't in it. The only way to actually get invested is to literally invest into the game, put some money down. You don't have to be a shark. You don't have to go out and put like $2,000 on the game. Put in $10. Right. Just get a little taste, get invested, get interested. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get pods. All right, so the negative thing here, and I don't want to be like Debbie Downer here, but this game really proved to me that even when everybody is targeting Steph, there's not really a dude on this team who can carry the scoring load in a meaningful way. And you don't have to do it like Steph does. But if you're really only going to get 17 from Wiggins, you're only going to get 12 from Oubre. Pascal is the closest thing they have to that, 15 points in 19 minutes. You don't really want him doing that. Damian Lee, 13 points in 15 minutes. But they don't have that guy. They just don't have that outlet. And so it does make me worry that if other teams try to take out Steph with their own unique game plan, like, what happens next?
I mean, this is something we knew entering the season, was that they don't have a legitimate number two superstar without Clay. Andrew Wiggins is a capable scorer in this league. He's proving to be an adequate perimeter defender. But yeah, he's not going to be a legitimate bona fide good number two option on a winning team. He's just not. I think he can occasionally go off for 30, 35 here and there. You're not going to see him explode for 50.
Right.
And for him, the unfortunate thing about Wiggins is sometimes for him to have a big night, it comes at the expense of the rest of the team, which is not a truly elite player in my mind.
Right.
And Pascal, same thing. You know, if he's in a bunch of ISO situations trying to score 30 points, odds are you're not a very good team. They in an ideal world, they'd have a number two, a number three option who could really score 30, 35 points in a given night in the flow of the offense. And I don't think they really have that.
No. Look, when Wiggins needs 17 shots to score 17 points, you give him a little bit of credit. He had 4 assists on the game, 4 blocks, by the way. But I think he's gotten better as a playmaker. But
Wiggins is doing what he needs to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wiggins is doing his job. I think if you look at his efficiency, mm-hmm. it's around the best of his career. His 3-point shooting is over 40%.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be happy with what you're getting from Wiggins. Now we can complain that he's not an elite player in this league, but we knew he was an elite player in this league. You have to judge him based off what you knew he was,
right.
And he is doing exactly what you can hope he would be doing. If you're going to talk about disappointment, you obviously need to talk about Kelly Oubre.
Right. Yeah.
Once again, what was he from 3 today?
1 of 6. Yeah. But, you know, this is the segment part of the recap show where we kind of do the stat of the game. And I asked you, like, what was the stat of the game? And the stat of the game is Steph Curry's line, 2 of 16 overall. We hit on that in the beginning of the show. But to kind of go around and look at some other stats, one stat that popped out to me was Kelly Oubre, 3 offensive rebounds. Like, he got 12 points. He was 1 of 6 from 3-point range, but 12 points on 5 of 14 shooting. And the shots that he did make were right there at the rim, right in the restricted area. And I continue to think, look, Steve Kerr has done a great job in finding a place for Eric Pascal to thrive, getting Steph Curry open as much as he could, getting Andrew Wiggins in rhythm, finding a role for him, not asking too much of Draymond Green, who, by the way, 10 points on 3 of 8 shooting. This is the first game his whole season in which he scored, in which he made 3 field goals. He had yet to make 3 field goals in a single game.
This was a great game for him.
It was. 10 assists, 9 rebounds. Yeah, I mean, I give that to him. When you're 1 rebound or 1 assist away, as long as you have the points, I give it to you, in my mind. That was a triple-double.
Yeah, and that's exactly the type of game they need from him.
Well, if and they're not going to get it. I don't think that you can rely on Draymond getting 10 points.
I thought he was straight up trying to not shoot. It was weird. It was almost like he was like trying to prove something.
He took 5 threes tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, I think you're right. I think he was trying to prove that he can master every other part of the game and not have to score. But I give him credit, right? Like on a night where Steph just wasn't doing it, he was like, all right, well, at least I'll make 3 field goals tonight. I don't think they can count. I went into the season saying you can't count on Draymond Green to even score 10 points in a game. I maintain that at this point, I don't think you can count on any points from Draymond Green in a game. Like, anything he gives you from a points perspective is bonus. But I do want to say this with Kelly Oubre. It does seem like everybody else is sort of finding their place.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre isn't. That's partly on him, no doubt. But I also think that they're playing him out of position. He's not a shooting guard. I think he's a small ball 4. I mean, the guy has... His assist numbers are more like a center than they are a shooting guard, even.
Right.
Like, he just doesn't pass. His best use when he is at his best is when he is running baseline and dunking or getting offensive rebounds and just using his leaping ability.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just dunker spot, corner threes, that's it. Just be on that baseline the entire game. Basically the way that the Heat used Derrick Jones Jr. last year, he's Derrick Jones Jr. with more Instagram followers to me.
To kind of build off what you're saying, I just don't think he's a great fit with this team and the system. I think a lot of us assumed he would be. Because the Warriors like to play up-tempo. He's an up-tempo guy. It's not that simple, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he loves the looks he's getting. You know what's one thing that's weird about Kelly Oubre? If you look at his numbers throughout his career, he actually shoots better when he's not wide open.
Hmm.
He actually shoots better when he has a defender within 4 feet of him. I don't know why that is, but it is the case. I've looked at the numbers. And his 3-point shooting this season, he's been wide open the vast majority of the time. And I almost feel like he's struggling to adjust to that.
I think that there's a psychological thing for sure. I feel like I'm that way too when I play pickup. Should they just have like Draymond just defend him every time that he's wide open? Just have Draymond kind of put an arm in his face. It's worth a shot. Look, they've basically tried everything else. I think either you just play him like Derrick Jones Jr. and just stop this whole like Kelly Oubre's a scorer, Klay Thompson type replacement. And he's like, no, just let him be an auxiliary player that just flies in for offensive rebounds, and you don't ask him for anything other than that.
That's such a disappointment. Given, as your guy Dieter wrote in a column the other day,
how much they're spending.
Their luxury tax bill went up almost $80 million to acquire him. So there is, whether or not he wants to admit it, there is a certain amount of expectation that goes along with that. And I know he wasn't brought in to be Klay Thompson, but he was brought in as a best case scenario to help fill that void. And he's just not doing it. And people, I think it's one of those things where Steve talks a lot about Kelly's defense just because he needs to say something nice about the guy. Yeah. I don't think he's been that great defensively.
No.
Wiggins has been way better defensively than Kelly. If you're going to talk about who's the perimeter lockdown guy on this team, it's becoming Andrew Wiggins.
Well, it is that. I mean, Steve Kerr essentially said that. We now have the guy who we could put on Pascal Siakam, put on Kawhi Leonard, put on Paul George, put on LeBron James. And this little stretch that they have that kind of started with these Clippers games, or really the Portland games too, and it's going to end on Martin Luther King Day against the Lakers, is the biggest test for Wiggins. And he has, frankly, rose up to the challenge. And look, Kelly Oubre just hasn't. He had 3 assists tonight. I said he has like center level of assists. He had 3. That's something, but I don't know.
It feels like he's getting in his head a little bit too.
I want to just give him a little bit of credit the way that I guess Kerr does. He could just go out there and just not do anything. I agree with you, and I had a Twitter thread about this the other day. He's overrated defensively. He gets, especially in the half court, he gets blown by way too easily on the first at the point of attack. He gets flat footed. He leans the wrong way a lot.
A lot of lazy closeouts.
He dies on screens all the time. He's just not good at fighting over them. But he at least, I still think, and look, the on-off numbers are not favorable. Like, the Warriors are better defensively when he's off the floor. I don't love defensive metrics overall, though. And I still think that he has a net positive impact on the team defensively, just because I think guys do feed off of seeing him pick up full court, and they appreciate the energy there. I think he does get, you know, with the steals, he didn't have any steals tonight, but with the deflections and the steals that he usually gets, like, I just think that when you have a guy like with that sort of energy, it's a net positive. But I do think that his defense has been overstated by the Warriors as a group, and I think it's because of what you're saying. They have to say nothing.
Something it's good
nice
coaching,
about
honestly.
Yeah, they have to say something nice. I want to get your take on the Warriors overall. I'm kind of done talking about this game. Again, Warriors win 106-105. Broader season perspective that's coming up here next. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen, especially now that it's a new year. Maybe you're locking in on a new diet. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect. They satisfy my hunger while I'm busy at work. They taste great, and they work perfectly with my low-carb, low-sugar diet. They have 18 amazing flavors. My favorites are salted caramel, lemon almond cheesecake, and peanut butter brownie. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. You throw them in the refrigerator, and now you get like that Snickers bar in the freezer type deal, which everybody knows is great. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight in the new year while also indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie. They're low-sugar. They're high-protein. They're high-fiber. Great if you're starting a keto diet in 2021. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So I said this last week, Connor. I think we need to start changing the way we talk about these Warriors, because we entered the season saying they're without Klay Thompson. They're trying to get this new look team to gel. There's no Draymond Green. They got blown out by 65 combined points in the first two road games. And the sky was falling, right? And that was a lot of the conversation around the Warriors, was this team has got to get everything right to even make the playoffs. But as we talk right now, they are 6-4. They are 6-4. They are in the thick of the playoff race. Despite this night, Steph is in the MVP race. And this team will get better as the season goes on, presumably, as long as they don't have any major injuries. So should we change the way we talk about this team into being a little bit more optimistic? I understand the Kelly Oubre talk, but everything else seems to be going pretty swimmingly.
Yeah, no, I think the narrative is starting to get pretty positive. It's as it should. It's all about perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to keep in mind what was a realistic goal for this team. I think a lot of people had unrealistic expectations for this team entering the season. And it's pretty clear to me that this is you know, if this team's base level, you know, if they don't overachieve, to me, this team's like an 8 seed in the West. If they do anything better than that, we should be impressed.
Right.
And right now, they're on track to do better than that. Now, it's super early in the season, but, you know, the thing I've been really impressed with this team about is how quickly they've improved. Mm-hmm. They seem to take direction really well. They seem to be filled with guys with pretty high IQs who understand how to play off of each other and to figure out each other's nuances. Because, I mean, this is a team that had an overhauled roster with an abbreviated training camp and was without two starters all of preseason in James Wiseman and Draymond Green. And the fact that they're already winning games that they probably shouldn't be able to win is incredibly impressive to me.
Yeah, and they have the best clutch shooter in the NBA, Damian Lee. We just haven't talked about.
I mean, but seriously, like I said entering the season, this team, if they're going to do anything, they need someone like Damian Lee's always my go-to example. Like, because to me, he's like an okay NBA rotation player. But he needs to be dependable in meaningful moments, and he's proving that he can be. And to me, Damian Lee is like a good barometer for this team.
Yeah, he's the avatar of average basketball player. And he's been really big for this, shooting 50% from three. This team also just plays super hard. And in the regular season, like the Warriors are now in that post-dynasty phase where they have to. This reminds me again of the Heat from like the after LeBron left. You had a down year. They were in the lottery, right? And then to get back, to kind of climb back into championship contention, they became the hardest playing team in the league. Right. And that was in direct contrast to, you know, winging it, you know, kind of just breezing through the regular season when it was LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. That's what the Warriors did with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. They didn't care about the regular season. They just breezed through it. Take nights off, whatever. Take three quarters off. We'll go ahead and win it in the fourth. No big deal. They can't do that anymore. And they're going to have to play super hard every night to win games. And that's what they're doing. And credit this coaching staff, I suppose. And I guess the winning culture that has been established after going to five finals. But they play super hard. Right now, they're fifth in the Western Conference. They're behind only the Lakers, the Suns, the Clippers, and the Jazz. I think that'll hold. I think those are probably the top 14. Now, the Suns will come back down to earth, but they're probably a solid playoff team. But I think the Clippers, the Jazz, the Lakers, they'll have another team get up there. I think Denver at 5-5 right now. I mean, they're out of the playoff picture, but they're one game behind Golden State. That's how close, you know, and dense things are. Dallas is 5-4. Portland's 5-4. Oklahoma City's got that eighth spot. They'll come back down. They're not going to hold on to that. So I think you'll see Denver move up. Houston is a non-factor. James Harden might get traded. Christian Wood seems a little out of his realm as a legit second option. But right now, like, the Warriors are right there, and they are one of these teams. Their goal, I think, is just to stay out of that 7-8 spot so they don't end up in the play-in game. That, to me, is what I would be worried about.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good goal for this team to have. You know, and I think it's cliche, but you can tell that this team, they genuinely like each other. They genuinely get along. It almost reminds me of, like, a college team environment, just in terms of how they interact and get along and the way they're cheering for each other during the games. And, like, honestly, when you're talking about the grind of an NBA season, that stuff matters.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
It does, yeah.
You know, like, if you genuinely like the people that you're around, you're going to play harder for them.
Yeah. Last question here for you. How many players can you name currently in the NFL playoffs?
The NFL playoffs are happening.
Tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at @con_cron. You can read all my stuff at sfchronicle.com. I also have my own podcast, which Wes comes on frequently, Warriors Off Court.
Not recently. It's been a minute. I haven't been invited.
Let's change that this week.
We'll change it this week. Remember, subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thank you, as always, to betonline.ag and to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. Send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them over to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.